And my husband told me, you know, our kid has Down syndrome. And I remember sitting there and I'm like, okay. And my first thought was, I hope people don't judge me because I waited for a family. And so often people are like, oh, you're too old, you're too this. And I'm like, no, God's blessed me with these beautiful kids and this family.
Yeah.
And then immediately the Lord like brought, the Spirit, whatever, brought that story of who sinned for this man to be blind. And it was like, no one did. They did this for God's glory.
Welcome to Diary of the Mom Squad with Kate and Brittany. Tune in for insights into the hilarious, heartfelt, and often chaotic world of motherhood, where no one has everything figured out and we all need a whole lot of Jesus. So grab a cup of coffee, take a break, and join this crazy journey together. This is Diary of the Mom Squad, where moms connect, support, and thrive.
This month on Diary of the Mom Squad, we're joined by Michelle Dowdy, Executive Director of the Blue Ridge Chapter of the Red Cross and mother of two. Michelle, thank you for joining us.
Hi, glad to be here.
So tell us about your husband and your kids and your family.
Oh, my family is wonderful. My husband and I are going to be celebrating 7 years in a couple months, and that's really exciting. Thank you. Time flies when you're having fun, right? He's a really great man. He has a heart of gold. I love him lots. And I have two wonderful kids with him. They are 5 and almost 6. Oh my gosh. And wow. 3 years old. So we're busy. We're a busy family.
Yeah. That's so true. One thing I love about you and your husband, you guys do this every year on your anniversary, and I think it's like the cutest. You wear your wedding outfits out to celebrate.
We do. I was like, this dress costs my parents a lot of money, and I was like, let's just, we said it when we were engaged and buying the stuff, because Joshua bought a red suit, and so we had to buy the jacket. And I'm like, let's do this every year. And then our first year came and he's like, are we going to wear them? I'm like, oh, we were serious. And I just had a baby. Hannah was like a honeymoon baby. And I'm like, I don't even know if my dress will like go on. And so we've been doing it since. And it's been a lot of fun. We go out. People will say, congratulations. I'm like, oh, thank you. Like, we did not just get married. And we went to Red Robin last year, you know.
I love it. That's like almost even better. Yeah.
We usually do the fancy. And last year I'm like, I just want to go to Red Robin. And so we did in our wedding clothes.
I'm very impressed. I don't think that my wedding clothes would maybe fit.
Well, so. I didn't breathe well last year. So hopefully this year we've been doing more cardio. Maybe it'll feel a little better.
I have a dress I changed into for my reception that I try to wear once every 5 years. And this last time I ripped the zipper trying to get on. So all the pictures, my arm is just down. Right? So you can't tell. Like, it's fine.
Pose. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
Right? Exactly. So you're the executive director of the Red Cross here in the Blue Ridge area. How do you balance like the urgent disaster response with like long-term community preparedness?
So we try to train community preparedness, especially with the recent winter storms and such. We did a lot of community classes. We have somebody who does preparedness for the state. And so we sent that out to all our volunteers. That's a lot of volunteers. And then also community partners to come on and learn about what they can do, because there was a lot of prep for all that.
Yeah.
But also just, you know, we try to educate our community. And then we also are there after, you know, home fires and disaster. And we give away free smoke alarms to people who need them or who want them. You don't even have to necessarily need, in the sense of you can't afford them. We will give them to anyone just to make sure that their homes are safer. And so we try to prepare in many, many ways. And a lot of that starts with education, even with our little ones. Talk about little ones. I keep thinking I got to tell Hannah's school, you know, hey, we can come in and do like a little presentation.
Yeah.
If they don't already, I mean, they probably already do something, but wanting to make sure that they have that too.
Well, and that's one thing I didn't realize about the Red Cross is that you guys respond to fires. You're actually like, if somebody is in a house fire, like you are a great resource for them.
Yes. And a lot of people are like, oh, I don't want to call the Red Cross. I'll tell the fire department. And I'm like, but our big thing is we want to help. That is what people who give us money donate to us for. We're there for that immediate need, whether you have insurance or not. You're not calling your insurance company the hour after your home burns down.
Yeah.
You know, and our volunteers can show up and give you, you know, the funds just for that immediate assistance. They give you a folder and it has all our insurance companies that are local listed, how to get your new driver's license, how to get your new Social Security card. What do you do? These are hotels. These are places that take dogs, and then other resources for people who may need extra help after that first 24 to 48 hours. So our volunteers show up within 2 hours of a home fire if they are called by the fire department. So the fire department will ask, and thank you to the fire departments who do that for us. And then if the folks say yes, we will show up and they are there, and it's very quick and easy. But that's something that we really value doing in our community. It's an everyday, sometimes more often than we wish for it to be.
Especially in this winter weather with people kind of using creative ways to heat their home this time of year because of the electric bills being so high. So yeah, practice safety. But if you do have a fire, make sure you call the Red Cross. I mean, why would you not? It's such a great resource, especially when you're panicked and you're stressed out and you don't really know kind of where to go from there and you've just lost everything. I wouldn't know how to get a new driver's license or social security card or any of that. So
that's
you're not
so
really
helpful.
Thinking about that at the time either, honestly.
Well, you mentioned that you have two kids.
Yes.
Hannah and Boaz.
Yes.
Which I love these names, okay?
I'm an Old Testament person. Yes. I love it.
So tell us a little bit about how their names came about and maybe what they're into right now. You said they were almost 6 and 3. And what's that look like in life right now?
Wow, life looks great, especially, you know, working full time. And my husband works full time, but no. So their names, Hannah is my firstborn. And like I mentioned, she is a honeymoon baby. So I've been a woman of faith for a very, very, very long time. And I was waiting for marriage, of course, and was waiting to find my husband. And I am an Old Testament, I used to say Old Testament junkie. Like, if you want to read the Old Testament, I will sit and read it with you for hours. And I'd study it and all those things. And the story of Hannah and Samuel were a big part. And God took me through a journey where it was, I kept discovering I would wake up and like the Spirit would speak to me and I'll read a story and it would be about a barren woman and the Lord would promise them a child. Mm-hmm. And one of those was Hannah, in the sense of it wasn't promised, but like she was praying through it and her grievance. And I just felt such a heart for Hannah, knowing her, like as you're waiting, you know, I was in my 30s and it was like everyone around me is getting married and having kids. And I just found so much comfort in that story. And not because I ever saw the ending, like I saw, you know, I didn't know Joshua, I didn't know that was coming, I would find so much comfort. And I remember sitting there and I just thought to myself, if I ever had a daughter, I want to name her after Hannah, or I would name her after the Shunammite woman in Elijah, but I don't know her name. She's just called Shunammite woman.
Can't do that.
I think she's also a really incredible person in the Old Testament. But so Hannah, you know, means grace. And I just really loved that name. And I loved that story. And so when we were blessed, you know, I got married at 37, my month anniversary, I found out I was pregnant. And, you know, everyone tells you, oh, you're too old to have a baby. And here I am, like this beautiful child, this beautiful story. And I wanted to name her after Hannah. And my husband was very much on par with that. And then when Joshua and I were dating, it was a snow day, believe it or not. We were FaceTiming all day. And he was like, oh, I really love the name Boaz. You know, I'd always love to name my kid Boaz. And he was kind of afraid of my response because we were still getting to know each other. Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, Boaz, that's amazing. That's in the Old Testament. And like, I was like, that means strength, all these different things. And he was like, wait, what? People usually look at me like. And so we said if we ever had a son, we would name him Boaz. And so Boaz's middle name is Samuel because of the Hannah story I really love. And Hannah's middle name is May. I used to be a North American missionary. I worked out west and I had a student who I loved with the middle name May. And I just adored her. And I was like, oh, I would love to name my child like Hannah Mae. And so that is where their names came from. They both mean a lot to us and their names are very special.
I love that so much. I love that God connected that in your stories separately and then was like, here, look what I'm going to do. I'm just going to give this to you and it's going to blossom that way. So,
that's cool.
And you ended up with a boy and a girl too. Right. Yeah, both got to use the name that you picked, which is
like,
really great.
Okay, I put my order in. Let's,
Hannah's brought that up. Like, what would you have named? I'm like, I don't know. But yeah, like to your point, I'm like, we just knew we were going to have a Hannah and Boaz. We didn't think anything farther than that.
I don't even know what I'm going to name this child that I'm pregnant with right now. I'm like, I have no idea. Hopefully a name will come. I'm sure it will. But we're struggling this time around. So with Boaz, he has special needs. When did you first find out that he had special needs and how did that moment kind of impact you?
So we found out when I was 10 weeks pregnant. One of those like early ultrasounds showed, I don't know what they see, you know, I'm like all I see is a little, whatever. Yeah. And so they were like, hey, we're going to do some tests. And I'm very anti all those things. And my husband, he's in medical. So he's like, no, let's just let no. And I'm like, who cares? And I'm like, I don't care if he does. And well, we didn't know it was a boy yet, but we got the genetic testing done and he had Down syndrome. And we found out, I can actually go straight to that place. I was at home. We were kind of waiting for the call because we knew it was coming because online it's like either gives you the results or tells you a doctor's going to call you. So you know the doctor's going to call you, which means something showed up in their test. And my husband told me, you know, our kid has Down syndrome. And I remember sitting there and I'm like, okay. And my first thought was, I hope people don't judge me because I waited for a family. And so often people are like, oh, you're too old, you're too this. And I'm like, no, God's blessed me with these beautiful kids and this family. And then immediately the Lord like brought, the Spirit, whatever, brought that story of who sinned for this man to be blind. And it was like, no one did. They did this for God's glory. And I was like, okay. And I remember taking a deep breath And I love Red Robin. So again, we packed up Hannah and we're like, let's just go to Roanoke. And we went to Red Robin and we're sitting there and we're kind of talking through stuff. And I had texted my parents and my close friends because they knew we had this coming. And I was like, our child has Down syndrome. And they're like, okay, like who, you know, all right, that's great. Not great. You know what I mean? Like no crazy. And then I decided to post that I was pregnant because I was like, you know what? I'm going to enjoy this baby because I prayed for this baby. Like, we wanted this baby. This was a gift from the Lord. And so it was kind of early, but we knew our baby was like, you know, it had a heartbeat. Everything was great. And right. So we went ahead and I was like, I posted our pregnancy announcement. And I made a decision at that point to thank the Lord for my child and also celebrate every little thing and not live in this fear, not be like bombarded with all the what ifs, what ifs, what ifs, what ifs. And my midwives were so sweet. They, you know, they only brought up what needed to be brought up. Mm-hmm. They understood where I was coming from and what I needed. And I really appreciated that. And so we really made a point to celebrate him before we even knew it was him. We never shared his diagnosis until months after he was born because I didn't want it to be about that. Yeah. It was just mostly about, hey, our baby's coming. And, you know, I think my boss knew just because the case, you never know, like what could happen. Right. And so if there was something, I, you know, heads up, I may have to be out or whatever. But God gave us my pregnancy was beautiful, you know, and easy. I worked out till he basically was born. He was born. He wiggled out himself. I didn't know. I mean, it was just like, that's I couldn't awesome. Have asked for like right? a greater.
You're like, yes, thank
yes,
you.
Yes, yes. And he's been so healthy. And the Lord just kept reminding me, like, I am bigger than a diagnosis. And that's whenever fear would strike me, I'm like, you know what? God is bigger. And God created this baby. And if I truly believe that, I need to live in that. Yes. And so he has been a huge blessing. Both of them are. And we are, you know, it's just, it's been a really amazing journey. And we just, yeah, it's great. I don't even know what the question was, but there you go.
Well, and I got to tell you, I have known a number of families that have had children that have been diagnosed with Down syndrome as well. And if you have never encountered a child with Down syndrome, you are missing out. You are missing out. They are the sweetest, kindest, most loving little human beings that I've ever met in my life. And I just love, love, love. I mean, you can't get a better smile from anybody else in the world.
It's also
so
genuine.
Joy, yes. too. It's just beautiful to see the world like through their eyes. And I'm sure you get to experience that every day with Boaz.
Every day. It's such a genuine, and you're, there's, yeah, it's, I think that so often I look at him and I'm like, I hope the world loves you because you just love the world. Yeah. Like, he just wants to be a part of, I'll sneak through and look through the window at preschool sometimes and just, he just wants to be a part, just like any other kid. And
right,
so,
yeah.
But there is something very unique and very special and it's very different. And I just, we wouldn't trade him for anything. Aww.
I love it. Well, what are some things, obviously, as you were going through the process of learning the diagnosis, and I love that your pregnancy was so wonderful and that you were able to just kind of enjoy that and blossom in that. What were some things, though, maybe after he was born that were adjustments or learning curves, or what did that look like for your family?
So, you know, if you've had a child, they make you go to the doctor like 1,000 times after they're born. And you're like, I remember after Hannah, I'm like, I just want to like hold my kid. Why are we constantly going to the doctor, you know, checking her weight? You know, I get it now. I'm like, you know, hindsight's 2020, but you just want, you're tired and you have this baby. So add like 1,000 more things when you have a child. So, you know, he had his heart check because that's one of the common things. By God's grace, his heart is very strong and very healthy. But although we saw that in utero, then we see that in the hospital. They do an ultrasound right after he's born. Again, there's more testing done. So, you know, I get to hold him. He's born. And then there's all these other things. So there was just more medical awareness. You know, there's just more things we had to look at that I didn't even know about. You know, like his eyes. You know, we had to go to an eye doctor. We have to get this done. We have to get this done. He had like a thing where they connect all this stuff to your head to make sure he's not gonna have a seizure, like, you know. And it's so, it's overwhelming. I, you know, I've cried in the hallway at a doctor's office, not because there was anything wrong with my child, it's just more or less I even have to share, like, he's just my baby, like, you know. And I think that was the hardest thing, is sometimes you're like, this is just my baby. And I get where they're coming from, like, so there's no, you know, there's no hate toward that, or it's just more or less like, I think sometimes people now all of a sudden look at the diagnosis, and maybe that's why the Lord like reminded me, like, this is, don't only be Down syndrome, like, he's your son, he's Boaz. Once we found out his gender, you know, we, but even in, you know, it's not even just medical, like, you know, you're in the grocery store and you think someone's acknowledging how cute your baby is. Mm-hmm. And instead they're like, oh, does he have Down syndrome? Do they have Down syndrome? Mm-hmm. And you're like, he's like 4 months old. Like, I don't want to have this conversation right. with you. I'm still learning myself how to deal with this. And so I think that was the hardest part, because yeah. here you are celebrating your child and the world can only see his almond eyes. And mm-hmm. so immediately everyone wants to know your personal situation. And, you know, nobody would ask you that for any other reason. And right. so I think that was hard to get used to. And I'm very blunt and I'm very like, here's my emotions. And so yeah. if I'm uncomfortable, I'll even say like, this is uncomfortable. Or I'll yep. just say like,
Which good for you.
Right?
I applaud that. That is good though.
My husband's like this very sweet. He's an OT. He's very loving and he works with people. And he's like, oh, Michelle, they didn't mean. And I'm like, I'm over this. Blah, blah, you know? And so it's it was difficult, but we really wanted to make sure that we didn't view him as because I was like, enough of the world is going to mm-hmm. judge him. And right. you know, my sweet daughter, she was 2.5 when he was born. And so he got a little older and she was pulling on his arm once or something. And I was like, oh, Hannah, you know, you got to be careful because they're a little more limber. Mm-hmm. And I was like, because of his Down syndrome, we try not to bring it up all the time because we don't want her to be focused on it either. And she was like, well, we all have Down syndrome. And I was like, you know what? You're 3. And that's okay. Sure. And we're cool with that. Like, and
but
so
how precious. That right? She's like, let's so just sweet. Big old hug.
We're right? Like, yeah. Okay. Because yeah. I'm like, be careful, you know, because she's still a sister.
Yeah.
And so, aww. And that was probably the biggest thing, was really getting past that.
Mm-hmm. As she's gotten older and understands more, how has their relationship kind of developed now that she's older?
So they're just like best friends. She's aww. Wanted him so badly. When he was born, I heard her yelling down the hall, my baby came out of mommy's belly, you know, and just, oh my gosh, couldn't wait to see him. Always wanted to hold him. And even now, like, you know, she carries him around. He adores her. Aww. Oh my goodness. Aww. He adores her. And so they're best friends and biggest enemies.
You know? Like any sibling,
yeah, right? The best
yes,
case scenario.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So it is, you know, when they want to sit and cuddle, they want to sit and cuddle. When they want the same toy, it's, you know, World War III in our house. But no, they really have a really sweet relationship. And, you know, we're very grateful. Boaz is very healthy and that's not everybody's story. And I acknowledge that. And I have friends in this community who don't have that same testimony and same mm-hmm. story. However, God is in those as well. I don't negate that. And so Hannah hasn't had to deal with a lot of the sibling stuff where it's like constantly, oh, we do this. It's always for our brother. Because, you know, he did walk. He, mm-hmm. you know, he has speech therapy, but now it's at school. So it doesn't, you know, there's things that aren't integrating so much with her life. And so it can be very much like what he needs taken care of is done outside of taking her from something she loves. And mm-hmm. so that's been a huge blessing and for her as well. And so I can definitely acknowledge that that's a blessing for mm-hmm. our family.
Well, you mentioned that there were some moments of awkwardness, like in the beginning, when people maybe are trying to give him a label first before even commenting on anything else. If you could say something to the world around you that interacts with your family, what would it be that you would want other people to know about having a Down syndrome child and having that be a part of your family unit?
So I think the biggest thing is he's my baby. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, I know people are like, oh, just ask, don't stare. That's like not me. No, I'm not that person. I know that's a big thing, but it's like, I think to really understand, you know, if your child is something, but I can't notice it, how would you feel if I immediately judged you or your family mm-hmm. because of that? Or I asked questions that were very personal, you know, to you about them or their health. And it's, you know, everybody, right. I'm like, everybody has something. My son's just something happens to be very evident. So I think just understanding, like, he is still a human and first, and he's our baby first. Like, he yeah. is our child, and we're going to, you know, we treat him as our child, and our family and friends treat him as a little human being, his school. And so I think not only just remembering that, I think that's like a good lesson yeah. for all humanity.
Yeah.
You know, like everybody, we're all somebody, and everybody, you know, we're all have a purpose. And again, I believe God creates all children and all human beings. And so he has a purpose here just as much as anybody else. And not all babies make it. You know, mm-hmm. we hear stories, we experience things ourselves, like not all babies make it through. Yeah. And he did. And there's a reason for that. And so I think just like understanding he's still somebody's child, that's yeah. somebody, and he's his own person. He is still a human being.
And my goodness, above and beyond even just this, like with our kids, what if we gave each other more grace like that right. in the world around us? Like, can you imagine? I just think so many times that we are missing the mark 100% almost for every sure. day with the way that we judge and the way we interact. And yeah, so I love your heart for that you just want people to just just love each other, you know, like just love each other and recognize that we are here because God has a purpose and a plan for all of us.
And when it comes to being a parent, just in general, what are some things that get you through on the hardest days of parenting? Because we all have those days where we're like, okay, it's going to be
tap out moment. Somebody else come do this.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes it's just, you know, I'm a working mom and I work from home the majority of the time.
Which can we just pause and applaud you for that? That's like, yeah, you deserve an award.
Oh gosh, yeah. It's a lot of juggling and I'm so grateful my organization, you know, and with school, I mean, it's helpful. I was going crazy when I had to manage and thank goodness for babysitters and mother-in-laws and grandmas and all those things. But being able sometimes just, I think acknowledging that I need the break, women are so, and you know, I'm not trying to generalize it, but I think that there's a level of I can do it or, oh, you can't do it all. Mm-hmm. And there's comparison. And again, maybe it's a good thing that I had children older because I'm just like, I don't care. I am. I need a break. And then you kind of juggle this whole, but I love my kids and I'm not mad at them. Yeah. Like, it's not you. And so a lot of times it's really just, you know, my husband works in healthcare. He is not a work from home person. So it really is on me, but acknowledging to him and then having that partner who supports you and is like, I'm like, listen, I just need to get out of the house. We just need to go to eat. We just need to go do like, it's got to be something. I don't want to leave my kids, but I don't want to be responsible right now for anything else for the day.
Fair.
And so, you know, it's just a simple, let's just go out to eat and understanding like that's just money as opposed to my, personal
sanity.
Mental. Yeah. I mean, because you can go, I've had moments where I just start crying. I'm like, what is wrong with me? Or I just yelled at my 3-year-old. Like, this is insane. He doesn't deserve that. And so.
You're normal, by the way. Yeah.
Like, just so you know. I want to tell you, I like shut myself in the pantry the other day and my daughter was like, why is mommy in the pantry? And daddy was like, she just needs a minute. Like, just take a minute. Because she had said mom like 1,000 times in a row. And I was like, I'm changing my name. I'm going to hide.
I need a minute. But I think there's something beautiful in that, too, when we are vulnerable enough in front of our family and in front of our kids to say, hey, look, this is the real kind of mess that I'm in right now. Like, we don't have to be perfect with each other. I remember, oh my goodness, probably about 10 years ago now, I was in the height of all the craziness going on in my life at the time, and I hit the floor. I mean, I like couldn't even stand up anymore, that I was just so overwhelmed, and I just went down to the floor and I sat down crisscross applesauce and like was bawling my eyes out. These poor sweet kids are like, what's wrong with you? You know, but I just invited them in that moment to sit on the floor with me, and I was like, look, mom is just, I'm tired, and it's not your fault. And it's okay. And this is emotions. Yeah. And this is okay. And we had this whole conversation about it. And I don't know if they understood it at the time. You know, they were 5, 7, and 9, I think, at the time. But I think that's so important that we invite our family in to that, right?
And how much better is that than yelling at your kids because you're overwhelmed and just being like,
now I've done that plenty of times too. Right? So like, there's two sides to every story here. But
those moments are like, I feel like God moments where he's like, it's okay. Like I gave you these emotions and like, it's okay to show your kids these emotions and all learn from it together as a family.
Yeah. The gift of being real, I think, is so important in that. For sure.
And then they'll be real. Like, they'll learn, hey, it's okay to have a meltdown and be like, I'm having a meltdown.
Yeah. Call it what it is. We get through it. We move on.
We need a minute.
Thank you so much, Michelle, for joining us. We so, so appreciate you coming in.
Well, I appreciate being here. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening to Diary of the Mom Squad. Tune in next time for more stories, more laughter, and the reminder that we always need more Jesus. You got this, Mom.